Hey, I want to welcome everybody that's here in New Albany and welcome everyone that's watching online. If you're watching online, our high school students at 514 Church just came back from camp, and we just had this like moment in the service where they're all excited and they were throwing beach balls around, and so they're all jacked up. So I don't know how much is this going to translate through online. It'll pick up on my mic, but are you guys excited to be here right now?
Yeah,
right? Okay. So there you go. So kind of like bring that to the moment. And this week, while these students were at camp, they talked about voices, talked about the voices. They talked about who you're going to pass the mic to, who you're going to pass the mic to, who you're going to listen to, who you're going to let guide you, who you're going to let lead you in your life. And you have that choice to make. And so many of you made the choice today, and over this past week, you've said, I'm going to let God speak to me, right? You guys have said, I'm going to let God speak to me. Parents, everyone, like, have you made that choice to let God speak to you? Like, yeah? Like, can I just say, like, you guys are leading the way. Do you know that a lot of people never pass the mic to God? Never. A lot of people never pass the mic to God. Like, never actually say, hey, God, I actually want you to talk to me. I actually want to know what you have to say. I actually want to rely on you to walk through life. And you guys are leading our church. You guys are not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. Is that right? You guys are it. It's awesome. So I'm just super pumped up. And I have something to share with you guys today about what, if you pass the mic to God, if you actually do that, there's something that's going to happen in your life that he's going to do, that he's going to say, and he says it to all of us. He says it not just to students when they first pass the mic to God, but he says it to all of us. And it happens in some of the most difficult places, because if God only spoke to us from the mountaintop and said, rah, rah, go, you have courage, be brave, go and live this thing out, you know, tell your friends about Jesus, live your life for God as parents, whatever it is, if he did that, that's one thing. But what happens in our lives when despair comes? What happens? Because it's going to come. Difficult times are going to come. There's the mountaintop experience, and then there's this. And I'm telling you guys, it's so easy to listen to God when you're on top of the mountain. It's because he's talking to your friend. He's talking to your sibling. He's like, oh, you're like all jacked up because, well, she's talking to Shelly, so maybe he's talking to me. So I want to listen to God. You're going to listen to God. We're all going to listen to God. And he's saying, live for me. Well, what happens when you get isolated or when something terrible happens? Are you still going to listen to God? That's a choice that you have to make, because he's still going to be trying to speak to you, and he's going to be saying some of the most important stuff in the world. And when you're in high school, and all of us that are parents, we know that it's tough to think that despair could come. I mean, when you're so young, we would hate, right, for students to go through real tragedy, for students to go through real challenge, for students to have major mountains to climb. And some of you have gone through that, and some of you are going to go through that. But it's going to come, and then you have to decide if you're going to listen to God's voice in the midst of that. In the 1800s, there's a story of a man who had a beautiful family. He had five kids. He was married, had five kids, and he was a wealthy man. He was a lawyer, and his family had everything. His family had it all together, and they had everything. And then in just a quick moment, they had five kids. Their youngest was a son, and their son died. They lost their son. And as you can only imagine, right? I mean, I just had this baby girl. I cannot imagine that type of despair. And they were just struggling through it, as you can imagine. As you can just think, like, how in the world do you make it through that? How in the world do you make it through that type of trial? How in the world do you make it through that type of tension? How in the world do you make it through that type of despair? I mean, you can think about what you might feel when that happens, and then something like that happens, and it's like a whole other wave, and you're just like, what in the world? And this family, their devotion to God, they were Christians, but they were just struggling and they had this type of event happen. And not unlike a lot of us, like when something really difficult happens in our lives, like we try to retreat a little bit, like we try to process what's going on in our lives. So we might go on vacation, or we might do a retreat, or we might go somewhere to try to get that thing, that horrible thing off of our mind. A lot of us, every summer we go on vacation. A lot of the people in this church are like, you know, they're on the beach right now. And sometimes we have to do that to get away from something that's really, really challenged and rocked us. And this family, they did that. They, the father had some business overseas in Europe. And what he did was, is he sent his wife and his four daughters on a boat overseas. And he had to finish up some work. And he sent his family overseas. And a couple of days before he was getting ready to follow them to Europe to do some business as well, and to have some vacation, and to continue to work through the disparity of losing their youngest and only son, he got a note that his family's boat had crashed and that all four of his daughters had died. And he's going, how does it get worse? You lose your one son. And then in an attempt to find some peace, to find some rest, vacation from this, all four of my daughters. This is going to happen. This is going to happen in our life. We are going to go through horrible things. Like, even if you never go through that type of despair, you're going to come to a place, whether it's that level of challenge, you're going to come to a place where you feel the worst you felt, and you feel like you're at the depths of despair. And just depending upon how life goes determines how actually far down your despair goes. But for one person who has kind of first world despair, things, challenges that happen every day, you lose your job. I'm not saying that's not a big deal, but then it's like, this is horrible. I lost my job, and you're in the moment and you have despair and you're trying to decide what to do with that despair. And then you talk to somebody else who's ill and might lose their life. And you're like, whoa, now that's a whole other level of despair. And then someone loses a family, that's a whole other level of despair. And then they lose multiple family members, that's a whole other level of despair. And all of us at some level are going to go through this. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to survive this? God, when bad things happen, how do I navigate that? How do I make it through despair? In Rad Summer, we've been talking about maturity. And what we're saying is that faith, hope, and love are the fundamentals of spiritual maturity. What happens is that God, when we accept him, he does something amazing. He takes hope and he puts it in us. So that's one of the, like, the foundations of when you embrace Christ. What he does is he says, here, I'm going to give you a picture of the future. Because hope believes that the best is yet to come. And what happens is God says, I'm going to take hope and I'm going to put it in your life. And one of the challenges is that we think, and we can think this, and when you're on the mountaintop, you come home from camp, or you're having a great experience, or you haven't gone through much of this, you can think, and you can go through this process of thinking that, I'm going to have this, but when I accept Christ, this is going to go away. And that's not true. That's actually a lie. If somebody sits up here and says, hey, we all have despair in our life. You're going to have despair in your life. And what's going to happen is God is going to come along. If you accept Jesus or you put your trust in Jesus, and he's going to put hope in you. And then what's going to happen is despair is going to go out the door, and God's going to replace your despair with hope. And you maybe have been told or thought or believed that because you know Jesus and because he's in you, that this is going to go away. And it's not the way it works. What happens is that we all have this at some level, and it's in our lives. It's around us. And God comes in, and he doesn't take despair out of your life. He adds it to your life. You see, hope doesn't replace despair. It trumps it. Hope comes in and says, oh, okay, you're having this go on. You're going through this challenge. Whatever's going on in your life, I'm going to give you the glimpse of eternity. I'm going to give you something that's coming that's amazing, that's better than now. And I'm going to give you a glimpse. I'm going to give you a snapshot of what that is like. And both of them, as a Christian, as a mature Christian, are going to be in your life. And over time, as you go through life, the hope is going to rise. And you're going to start to see it. And some of us, like I talked about, we have certain kinds of hope. Like you can have like level one, like first world hope, like despair, right? You have these problems. The other day, I think my mother-in-law is in here, so I'm going to pick on you just for a quick second, but I love you. The other day, my mother-in-law, which one day you're going to have one of those, and I hope you have one like mine, and that wasn't just for points. She's really awesome, okay? But did I score some points? I hope I did. Here's what happened. I'm driving down the road, and this Buick Enclave pulls off onto the side of the road on the freeway, and I'm like, oh, no, what's going on? That looks like Paula's car, and like, I pull over, and it is. It's my mother-in-law, and she steps out of the car, and she's like, I ran out of gas! And I'm like, ba-ba, I'm here to help you. Hope has come. And when you run out of gas, like, it's like, oh, woe is me. And then Joel shows up. And lucky you. Like, we all have, like, these things in our life, right? Where, like, we have this, but when Jesus comes into our life, this doesn't go away. This just gets better. You just get a little bit clearer of a picture. And you're going to meet people, and you're going to, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind when you meet people that have this. Because what makes this so amazing to see, people that believe in the future that God has planned for them, this eternal future, what makes this so amazing is this. When this is high, and this is higher, it's unbelievable. When you meet someone who is going to pass away or has been given terminal news or loses their job and they're going, how in the world am I going to prepare and pay for and do all this? But they still go, I'm all right. You just go, what? Where did that come from? That came from God who says, this is real. And this is why I came to this earth. And when you embrace me, I give you a snapshot. I give you a picture of eternity. And it is going to drive you. It is going to drive you. I kind of liken eternity to this. And this is the hard part about eternity. This is the hard part about hope, is that we think that the here and now is everything. We think that the here and now is everything. But really what the here and now is like LeBron James has this sweet house, okay? That's like one of the reasons he moved back, because he has this sick, ridiculous pad. Do you guys know that? Like, he does not want to live in Akron, but he has a house that we all want to live in. I promise, okay? He has this mansion. And here's what life is like when you have Jesus. Everyone in the world is on the front porch of LeBron James' house. And they think, wow, look at that door. Look at that garage. I can't believe the cars that might be behind. Look at the windows. I can smell pool water. Wow, there's eternity somewhere. And the people that know Jesus, they're the ones that are like, someday I get to go in there. Someday I get to go in there. But for everybody else, they sit on the front door of the house, and they think that the porch and the front door is what life is all about. And they just, if it's raining outside, then man, you got rain. If it's sunny outside, then you got sun. Then everything's okay. It all depends on the weather and the elements on the front porch. That's your life, because you're never going to get to go on to the next spot. But for those of us that have hope, you're going to get to go in LeBron James's house someday. And you're going to get to live there forever. You get to be there forever. It's so difficult. Right now, you think like, oh, my life is going to be complete when I go to college. Oh, my life is going to be complete when I retire. Oh, my life is going to be... No. It's all the front porch. It's all the front porch. And sometimes it's terrible, and sometimes it's great. And sometimes it's first world problems, and sometimes it's terminal illness. But it's all the front porch. And those of us that love Jesus get to go inside one day. And that's where eternity, that's where real life begins. You see, God doesn't give us hope to erase the problems that happen on the front porch, that happen on this life. He gives us hope because it's so difficult. He says, I'm going to hand you this. I want to put this glimpse in you. Just imagine for me for a moment what it's going to be like when we get to hang out together all day long in the most beautiful place forever. Come on. Just imagine. I want to put that in you. I want that to drive you. I don't want you to be thinking about the elements and the rain and all this other stuff. No matter what happens down here, no matter what comes your way, just think about what's going to happen forever. And he does this for us. And as Christians, when we like live in that tension and we know like this is okay, there's some things about this right now that are good. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. But the best is yet to come. Then you are living out hope. He gives it to us. Because it's hard. Now, there's a guy, and we talk about this guy all the time, Paul. He wrote like half of the New Testament, and he had so much despair. Like, he had levels of despair. He had the combination of all of our levels of despair, this one guy. He was beaten. Okay, like, beaten. I mean, he was beaten like to be left for dead. He was stoned. And being stoned wasn't just like people throwing rocks at you. It was like dropping big rocks on you when you're already on the ground. So he was like he got hit with a baseball in the face, like size stone. And then they dropped stuff on him to cover him up. And then some people came back and helped him out of that. And he barely made it out alive. On top of that, he wasn't just stoned and he wasn't just like left for dead stone. He was ill. He had this sickness that the scriptures don't tell us exactly what it was, but it was this horrible illness that stopped him from being able to function like a normal human being. Despair. He actually went to God and asked him to take that away, and God said no. Despair. Because sometimes God doesn't say yes. He says yes to eternity, but he doesn't say yes to everything you ask for right now. So you have this despair. He says, no, I'm not going to take away the illness. I'm going to give you hope. Oh, okay. So you mean when I get past this door, it's going to be better? Yeah. But for right now, you're going to have some of this. So Paul not only was like hurt physically, and he was not only sick physically, he used to be one of the leaders of all the people in Jerusalem, all the Jewish people. He was one of the leaders. He was one of the teachers, and everybody knew him. And when he accepted Jesus, all the people that he once led turned their back on him, and he was basically an outcast from his own society. So he went from being like, literally, like, have you ever seen Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey? No? Sorry, not your time. Can't Buy Me Love, Patrick Dempsey, right? It's my wife's favorite movie. And like, he becomes a super cool guy. He's like the coolest guy because he bought his way into being popular. And then the girl outs him at this party, and everyone finds out that he bought his way to be popular. And then he is like the black sheep. That's the way Paul was with his people. It was literally just like, dude, you are a rat. You are horrible. He lost his culture. Then the culture that he kind of was trying to reach, the people that weren't Jewish people, they were all like, you're not one of us either. So you find a guy who's getting beaten up for what he believes. He's sick. He gets thrown out of his culture, and the culture that he's trying to affect doesn't embrace him. Man, that's despair. Like, if that happened to any one of you, how would you do with that? How would you do if you were like, now, no one liked you? How would you do if you just got to the point in your life where you're like, okay, now I've become this horrible version And everybody around me thinks that I'm this thing that I'm really not. And you're like trying to prove yourself and you're trying to be who you are, but you're trying to be accepted by people. Despair. That's what Paul went through. And he says this about his afflictions, because he talks to this church and he says, look, I believe that we go through despair for a reason, and I believe it's for comfort. I believe it's so that we can be people that tell other people how to get through despair. He's like, I go through despair so that I can get through it with the hope of God, so that I can tell other people how to get through it. And this is what he says. He says, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. He's talking about his afflictions. He's talking about the physical, the mental, all the stuff that he went through in his society and everything he went through. He's talking about how God, through hope, helped him get through that. And then he says, on him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. And that's hope. Hope says, okay, this isn't going away. God gave me this. He did it before. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Guys, God gives us hope because life is hard, not to make it easy. God gives us hope because life is difficult, not to take away the trials. He gives it to us to hold on to. This same author talked about hope in a different way, and I want to show it to you. He says this. He says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. So here's my question for you. Do you have an anchor? Do you have an anchor for your soul? Like when things go terrible, what keeps you grounded? When things get rough, when the waters get rough and the storms come and all the challenges come in your life, what anchors you down? What Paul says in this letter is that what's going to anchor you down is hope. It's going to be the thing that grounds you to the ground. You say, no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it through this because ultimately I get to go to LeBron James' house. That's my anchor. Do you have this? Do you have an anchor? Do you have that in your life? The man that lost his family, the man that lost his son, and then sent his daughters overseas, and they all died. This man is a picture of hope. This man, even though he lost his loved ones, his children, he still had his anchor. If he still had his anchor, and he could make it through that type of despair, that means you can too. Because if you have Jesus, you have the same anchor that he did. And this man, his name was Horatio Spafford. Maybe you've heard of him. But what happened is after he lost his family, he got on a boat and he went over to meet his wife. And on the way to meet his wife and to mourn with her over the death of their five children, his anchor, his hope got a hold of him. And he was not only able to make it through that storm, he was able to write one of the most popular songs that has ever been written and ever sang, a hymn for over 100 years that has been sang in churches. And he wrote this song, not because despair was gone, but because he had hope in the midst of it. He wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Raise your hand if you've heard the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I grew up singing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And it is one thing to sing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," when you have peace like a river. But it is another thing to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul," when a storm takes you to the most horrible despair that you could imagine. These are the words that this person wrote in despair. He said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. He says in this first part of the song, he says, when everything is peaceful, when despair is low, fine, I'm good. But even when sorrows come, he is literally on a boat in the midst of probably another storm, and he's watching waves crash over the side of his boat, and he's thinking, this happened to my family, and here I am. And I don't know how to describe it to you, but all I can tell you is that when the waters are calm, Jesus is my anchor. When the waters get stormy, Jesus is my anchor. No matter what happens, my hope is in the right place. It's stuck on the bottom of the ocean. It's not going anywhere. And up above, the storms may do whatever they do, but my hope is in Jesus. And he says, it is well with my soul. I mean, can I ask this question? Could you say that? Can you say it is well with my soul regardless of what happens? If you can, that is it's a fruit. It's a piece of God maturing himself in your life. That's maturity. I'm going to be okay. I'm not okay, but I'm going to be okay. This chorus, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. Look what he goes on, he says. He talks about the front porch at LeBron James's house, I promise. He says, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, or the door opens to this eternal mansion. He's saying, the Lord, haste. So for all of us, that means, God, will you hurry up? Hurry up and open the door. Hurry up and take me to eternity. I can't wait to be there because this is the front porch, and the front porch is okay, but I've had a horrible experience on the front porch. Not everyone has had my experience on the front porch. Could you? I'm fine with going to eternity because I can just tell it's going to be better. And the reason that I know that it's going to be better is because you did something for me in the midst of my despair. You put hope in me. So I know when you open that door, it's going to be great. The trump shall resound. I mean, literally, you get to walk in to this house, and it's just like, welcome! This is going to be great! I got PlayStation on a 70-inch screen in the basement. Let's go! We can play it forever! The Lord shall descend no matter what happens. If he comes late, if he doesn't let me in right now, if it happens later in life, no matter what, it is well with my soul because of hope. That's it. Hope is something that God puts in you. When it blossoms, it's spiritual maturity. And you see it in people that have truly trusted in Jesus. I just want to ask two questions before we're done. I want you to imagine for a second someone you know that all they have is this. All they have is this. Because this message is not just about you. This is about the person next to you. This is about the person that lives next to you. This is about the person that you spend time with. There are people that go through what Spafford went through, and all they have is this. They don't have this. They don't have it. You and me are these servants that get to be a part of ushering this into people's lives. But if you're like me, someone going through their entire life with nothing but disparity is heartbreaking. You see, our response to disparity should be so attractive that other people get the hope that we have. And so what you are going to get the opportunity to say as you grow in your relationship with Christ, you're going to get the opportunity, and it's such a weird thing to wish on anybody, but you're going to get the opportunity to say it is well with my soul. And you say that when trials come. And when you do that, other people are going to sing it too, and they're going to know it, and they're going to know the Christ that gives you the power to say that. Let's take a minute and pray. Father, it is well with my soul. No matter what happens, I have you. And right now, I just pray for someone that is just in the trenches. They are just in despair. They are in the storm. They need you. And despair is high and hope is low. And I just pray right now that they would get a glimpse, just a glimpse of what eternity has for them. Give them a glimpse. Give them a taste. Give them encouragement. Give them comfort right now. Help them to hold on to the picture of Jesus, to eternal life. And God, for those of us that have this hope, I pray that we would not be so selfish with it. I pray that we would be the kind of people that know that hope exists because life is hard and the people around us have difficult lives and they're going through challenges, and we get to bring the hope that we have in us to the people around us. Show us how to do that. Teach us what to say. God, help us to respond to whatever happens around us with a genuine hope, with a response that says, it is well with my soul. God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much for these students. I pray that they would right now hear the voice of God, the voice of God saying, I'm with you. No matter what happens, it's going to be okay. I've given you hope because life is hard. I love you. Thank you so much, Jesus. In your name, amen.